Hi, I'm Amy Goodman. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors,
you're live.
Show hosts,
so,
or other guests on
go
the
ahead.
Program.
This is Radioactive Magazine for February 6th, and we have some guests. Our hosts tonight are Darnell Hunt and Susan Sarachak. So please, Darnell, Susan, take it away.
All right. Good evening, KKFI listeners. And I'm Darnell Hunt. This is my first time being a guest host here on Radioactive Magazine, and it's quite an honor. And we have some special guests here, along with our co-host Susan Sarachak. We have the Reverend Rose Schwab of the Unitarian Church in Shawnee Mission, and she is also a part of the tri-chair and core group for the Poor People's Campaign out of Kansas. And another member of that group is Anna Maldonado, and she's going to fill us in on some things about the Poor People's Campaign as well. But Susan, you want to go ahead and take it over?
So, welcome, guests. And tonight's program, we have Reverend Rose Schwab and Anna Maldonado.
Yep.
And they are going to talk about the Poor People's Campaign. Thank you both for taking time out from your busy schedules to join us in the studio tonight. So, starting out, can you tell us about what is the Poor People's Campaign? Reverend?
Thank you so much for having us. The Poor People's Campaign is a national movement that seeks to unite people across lines that have divided us. It's the idea that in American history, the people have always been divided as a strategy to keep them poor and disenfranchised. So specifically, if you think about the creation of race during the slave times, that poor whites were taught that they might be poor, but at least they weren't slaves, therefore creating a division between what could have been a very powerful uprising movement amongst the people. So trickling down from that, we are still divided, especially people who are in poverty are deeply divided along racial and political lines. And so it's the idea that we can band together and find a common humanity amongst the people who are all being ostracized by the economic system.
So, Reverend Rose, I understand that this isn't the first time this movement has been done. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, could you tell us a little bit about when it was started in the past?
Mm-hmm. So in the 60s, there was a group of mostly women called the National Welfare Rights Organization, and they started to, during the all of the activism that was going on in the 50s and 60s, they started to think about the idea of a poor people's campaign off of the same analysis that I just described. And so they were just a very powerful group of organizers that the civil rights activists that we all know so well, especially under Dr. King, they took it up as part of the work. And I believe that the final work of Dr. King, which was the Poor People's Campaign, is what actually caused him to die, in that he was making demands on the government and was powerful enough to actually reorganize the U.S. budget in a dramatic way that would have really centered the needs and basic needs of the people.
In line with what you're saying, there is a quote that Dr. King said that, quote, all of us can feel the presence of a kind of social insanity which could lead us to national ruin. Mm-hmm. And that was in terms of the Poor People's mm-hmm. campaign.
Mm-hmm. I think that Dr. King was really quite a thinker and a mover, and that he was much more radical than we give him credit for. He was really explicitly anti-capitalist and really explicitly using language that does cross racial lines, which is the language of Christianity, to explain a type of universal salvation that really starts with the idea of universal design, which is that you start with the people who are suffering most, and then if you get the people who are suffering the most, you automatically will raise everyone else up.
Okay. Now, I understand that yesterday there was an event that took place in the state capitals, I guess, here in Missouri and Springfield, and then also in Topeka. Can you tell us about that a little?
So all across the nation, 38 states are participating in the Poor People's Campaign, and yesterday at 10:15 Central Time, people gathered at their state houses to let their legislators know that there are going to be demands made upon them from a group of people who are organizing nationally. So we gathered in the Topeka State House downstairs in the auditorium. And we heard from Darrell Gilmore and Mary Akerstrom and Miles Megasife, myself and Reverend Sarah Oglesby Dunnigan. And we spoke about what it is like for us to live in a world that is so dramatically affected by militarism, poverty, racism, and environmental destruction. And then we took letters that we wrote and took them to senators that were chosen, and we started to get a feel for what it feels like to create trouble in such a heavily locked down and dignified, quote unquote, building, in that it was, there were these secret, gorgeously ornate chambers in which we had to possibly search out the whereabouts of individuals in hopes of making eye contact with them. And so that was just very fascinating, because in the coming months we are going to be organizing a series of sit-ins and civil disobedience in the state capitol. So it was lovely to go and start to understand and feel out when in ourselves we felt the body temperature rise, when we felt that we acquiesced to power, when we felt like we wanted to show our strength, and all those types of minute dynamics that are, I think, kind of like an art form, figuring out how do you really make your demands known, and how do you really make your needs known in a way that is both disarming and very, very serious.
Great. I want to make a correction there. I've been fact-checked, and it wasn't Springfield. It was Jeff City that mm-hmm. the Missouri contingency held their press conference at yesterday. And you mentioned nationally, so how many states are involved currently with this
38.
Movement? 38. All mm-hmm. right.
Started out much smaller. Started out with two groups of people. One is in North Carolina, Repairers of the Breach, which was Dr. William Barber's Moral Mondays movement, where they started doing civil disobedience with just a small group of people in the North Carolina State Capitol, knowing that North Carolina has one of the strongest histories of Black representation in the State House historically. And then the other one is out of Union Theological Seminary, which is the Cairo Center, which is how I'm connected, because I interned there for 3 years, and so I feel very connected to much of the leadership.
Very good. There was an audit that assessed the state of America nearly 50 years after the first Poor People's Campaign was started. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about this report and how the Poor People's Campaign will use this information?
So this was about the souls of poor folks, And it is basically an audit saying that people are still poor and the numbers are growing, and that it's kind of an official document. Something that is really interesting about this is that much of the audit was taken by poor people. For example, there's a group that the Cairo Center has worked with in New York City called Picture the Homeless, which was a group of homeless organizers in New York City who went around and counted the number of vacant buildings in Manhattan and noticed that it was more than ample space for everyone to have housing. So that's an example of a really effective audit strategy that you can use your knowledge to remind people of just how dramatic the injustice is.
Okay. For any listeners that have just joined us, this is Radioactive Magazine, and our special guests here in the studio are Reverend Rose Schwab and Anna Maldonado, and they're with the Poor People's Campaign. Now, Reverend Rose, can you tell us, if somebody wanted to get involved with the Poor People's Campaign, how would they go about doing so?
Well, first of all, you could come to a meeting at 6:30 on Tuesdays at Shawnee Mission Unitarian Universalist Church, a.k.a. Smooch, on 9400 Flum Road in Lenexa, Kansas. Or you could like our Facebook page, which is Kansas Poor People's Campaign Moral Movement, or some combination of those words. you could always email kspoorpeoplescampaign@gmail.com, no apostrophe on peoples.
It's hmm? Or it's Poor People's Campaign KS.
No, it's not.
It's not? Okay.
Mm-hmm. You could also, I think, Facebook or showing up to a meeting at Smooch on 6:30 on Tuesday nights, or there's going to be a meeting at 9 a.m. on Sunday, February 25th, at the same location if you want to get up and then come to a worship service.
So you're saying that the next meeting is next Tuesday at 6:30?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
At Smooch?
At Smooch.
Shawnee Mission Unitarian Church on 9400?
94th and Flum. In Lenexa, Kansas, so it's 9400 Flum, spelled P-F-L-U-M-M, Road, Lenexa, Kansas.
Okay. Thank you. Question. Who are, or what are some of the organizations that are partners in the Poor People's Campaign?
Well, there are a lot of organizations that are partners in the Poor People's Campaign. I think people, there's really too many to number in that people are coming from all over. For example, yesterday in the State House, we had a group of people who were representative of organizations that ranged from more politically conservative farming organizations all the way to anarchist organizations, all the way to faith organizations. So it really is, we're really trying to bring people in from a lot of different areas and cross the divides. So the two main organizations are the Cairo Center out of Union Theological Seminary in New York City and Repairers of the Breach.
It sounds like there is a lot of diversity, though, in the organization.
That's the point. Okay, the point is that we are creating relationships across historic divides.
Good.
Okay.
You are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio, and we are discussing the Poor People's Campaign, Kansas City, Missouri.
All right. Now, we have another guest in here, and Anna.
Hello.
I understand that there is this musical component to the Poor People's Campaign, the musicology piece. Mm-hmm. Can you explain a little bit about that to our listeners?
Part of the Poor People's Campaign and part of the whole thing is the importance of like music and art in the movement. So like putting heart into the whole thing and getting people riled up and just excited about the movement through music and art.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as art goes, do you can you give some example of the type of art that they may be using?
Maybe like some kind of visual art or like spoken word, poetry, really any kind of expression that I think is like really vital for like relating to other people's experiences.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are lots of types of really beautiful radical protest art in the world. Like if you think about having signs that you made is one very simple way of expressing your art That's or your true. Opinion. Or there's like there's a really beautiful form of art where you make designs out of sand on a sidewalk. And the symbolism behind it is that you are making the place where people might be walking, the normal ways people are moving through the world, you make something beautiful there to block it. So that's just a way of using art to change the way that people move through the world and change the way people are seeing how the systems that we've set up and giving them pause to think about it.
Okay.
Oh, just like reminding people of... like bringing joy and beauty into the movement, which is like what we live for.
Great. Is there any age limit for the folks that want to get involved or any restrictions for folks that want to get involved with
there
the Poor People Campaign?
No restrictions for age and whatever you are, as long as you're a human being.
Yesterday at the protest, we had two little kids with us, and it was lovely to see how we weren't doing anything that was really very disobedient yesterday, but thinking about the presence of people who are more vulnerable in disobedient situations and how we deal with that and how we protect people and mm-hmm. how people who are more vulnerable could be very, very powerful. Like when Dr. Barber and Dr. Theo Harris were here to do an Empolis with us, a training of leaders in Kansas during August, we heard a story about a woman who was wheelchair bound and the kind of significance of her decision to get arrested and her decision to put herself in that position and the kind of horror of that and putting the people who are enacting the law in that position is very interesting.
Okay. So, Reverend Rose, you mentioned the word disobedience. Mm-hmm. And so, and that leads me to the next question. There is this our plan of using what direct action or civil disobedience. Mm-hmm. So, and why is that form of protest or action chosen?
Mm-hmm. I choose to do civil disobedience because I am theologically wed to disobey. I believe that disobedience is an important part of critical thinking, and that especially in systems that are unjust, it is our duty and our honor to disobey and break the chains that bind. So we have chosen this because it has gotten to a point that that nothing will be conceded without a demand, and that standing up for oneself and getting in touch with our voices and speaking the truth of what it's like to be Black or disabled or female or any of the above, and the real realities of that being beautiful, and that it's just a good practice. It's a good practice to disobey things, and it's good for the system to be disobeyed, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. A question. The Washington Post a few weeks ago had an op-ed, and the title was "A New Poor People's Campaign Wants to Change How Society Defines Morality."
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that as pretty accurate?
Mm-hmm. I think that maybe a more accurate statement would be the New Poor People's Campaign wants to invite morality into the conversation, in that the idea that the way that the system is functioning right now is amoral, so that it's not built on the idea that basic human rights are important, and it's not built on the idea that all people are equal in any way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. There are at least four main issues that are covered by the Poor People Campaign. You care to tell the audience about that?
Yes, I do care to tell the audience about that. So first of all, there are four issues that have been that the campaign has been solidified into. The first is militarism. So these are the four things that are identified as the boiled down oppressive forces. So the first is militarism, which you can see if you look out your car window and see the rapidly militarized police force. I lived in St. Louis during the Ferguson crisis, and I also lived in New York during Occupy Wall Street, and the experiences of heightening militarization that I felt in those situations are really just kind of unbelievable to experience. And the idea that it feels to me like a frog boiling slowly in the water situation, and people who have experienced war or have experienced living under a militarized regime in which they are the illegal people, I think that the severity of that experience and the understanding of that experience is something that I hope we never, ever, I mean, people are experiencing it right now, honestly, in the U.S. And so, do you want to say anything about that? Okay, so militarism, that just goes, I mean, they're just all connected. So militarism is an incredible source of, or an incredible sink of money for the U.S. government, and it's an incredible sink of carbon for the air. It's just an unbelievably ecologically devastating situation with the government. If you just think about hovering helicopters and all that kind of jazz. So ecological...
Sneaky and insidious.
Mm-hmm. And so ecological devastation is the second one, understanding how we are all affected by ecological devastation. And
no one can escape ecological devastation. No one is safe from ecological devastation.
So that's kind of the great equalizer in that we all depend on the Mother Earth. So the third one is racism. So this, again, relates back to how the United States was built on the backs of people who were enslaved, specifically along racial lines. And so just that particular piece of knowledge,
it continues to like cage people based on race and force people into indentured servitude based on race. And like,
can you say more about where you see that happening now?
I see that happening with the prison system and with all of the undocumented laborers that make everything run here today and are at an extremely high risk of being separated from their families and being disappeared. And it's all based on race.
And the last one is poverty. Half of this nation is in poverty, and it is in some ways also the great equalizer in that all races and across all divides, people are touched by poverty. Mm-hmm. But the effects of poverty are truly ubiquitous in someone's life, and the ways that we think about poverty, the narratives we have about poverty, are really just astoundingly wrong in that we believe that people who are poor because of their own fault, or maybe it was an accident, or maybe it was just it's rarely thought of systemically, and this is a real issue.
And it's also like a shameful thing to be poor. So a lot of people don't want to, like, a lot of people hide their poverty, and like, it's not something that like people want to like admit.
So in essence, kind of like the weaponization of poverty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you say more about that? Or am I not the interviewer? Okay.
It's like social Darwinism.
Yes.
That's what it is. And poverty is around us, and
And it's using like oppressive like militarized forces to force people into those positions for generations and then blaming them for being in those positions.
Exactly.
It's like a gigantic abuse.
Yeah.
On a gigantic scale.
Abuse is not sustainable, and that's what this is all about.
Yeah, and if you think about, you know, it's always said that this is a Christian Judeo nation, well, one that's grounded in those values, but the way we treat our poor is quite horrendous. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who was the guy that said it once, but you could judge the character of a nation by the way it treats its poor.
Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense to me.
The way that Judeo-Christian values are like twisted into like pushing like the patriarchal agenda.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's essentially what the Poor People's Campaign is trying to send in 2018, the message, the new message.
Correct.
Or the old message.
Yes, I mean the
timeless message.
Yeah.
The timelessness.
Yeah.
So essentially, before we end, what would you like to leave our listeners with about the importance of the campaign? Just...
Time is of the essence, and I'm going to use the line, there is no planet B, and we all rely on this earth to sustain our life. And yeah, let's do the thing.
I would like our listeners to take a moment and check in about your own struggle and ask yourself if you are okay. I think that we can become very, very separated from each other, and we can forget our humanity very easily, and we can separate our struggles from other people's struggles because we think that maybe we shouldn't, we feel guilty about the privileges we have, or we feel isolated in that no one else could ever feel like we feel. And so I just want to invite us all to consider what it's like to be human and why we are really doing it. It is for love, and it is for kindness and beauty, and in hopes that we as a group of people who are all here on this earth together can find a way to save ourselves and
eradicate suffering.
So
Reverend Schwab,
yes,
important words.
So we're about out of time now, okay, but we've got just enough time for our two guests to introduce themselves briefly and tell us why you're here, and briefly outline once again the activities you have planned, and how our audience can connect with you, and also how people on the Missouri side can connect with the Missouri Poor People's Campaign.
So, like, we can go across like the Missouri Kansas border. Like, what's the border thing about? My name is Ana Marcela Maldonado Morales, and I'm with Kansas City Food Not Bombs and Squad of Siblings, and I'm in the Poor People's Campaign because I care about people and I love to sing.
My name's Reverend Rose Schwab, and I'm the Senior Minister at Shawnee Mission Unitarian Universalist Church, a.k.a. Smooch, in Lenexa, Kansas. I'm part of the Poor People's Campaign because I believe that all of our salvation depends on all of our salvation.
All right. Well, this is Darnell Hunt, and I'm here with co-host
Susan Sarachek.
And we want to thank you all for tuning in to Radioactive Magazine, and we'll see you again next week where our guests will be.
Will be the presidents of Kansas City area chapters of the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, and our guests will include the Reverend Rodney Williams, who's the president of the Kansas City, Missouri chapter, and we've got three chapters in Kansas, the Wyandotte County chapter, I believe, or Kansas City, Kansas, and the Johnson County chapter, and a chapter in Olathe, and possibly one from Bonner Springs. I'm not certain about that, but we will hear about that next week. And stay tuned for Counterspin, followed by A Taste of Tejano after the following messages.